Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What is up, Gypsy Gang? Two apps in one day. Y'all lucky. This new software system deal that I've been building has been very productive for me. I was able to do two podcasts, edit them on the go, post them on YouTube, drop them when the embargo lifted on the Salt Lake City announcement. The first person I called to do a little bit of bench racing after I FaceTimed Myrtle into the studio was old Whiskers Ben Townley. Wanted to get his old salty reaction to the news that Supercross would be doing 7 rounds at Salt Lake City commencing June 31st. Always value Ben's opinion. He actually is one of the few people that will literally tell you exactly what he thinks, whether he's sponsored by the company, whether he likes the ride. He don't give a fuck. He just says it how it is. And that's why I like to call him about stuff like this, because I know I'm going to get the real shit, which means you're going to get the real shit. So yeah, I'll roll into the ads from the Lucas Myrtle podcast that maybe you've listened to, maybe you haven't, because it's all the same sponsors. They're all legends. Thanks very much, Ben. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by the legends at Boost Mobile. Anytime you actually see anybody calling into the studio, I have my iPhone hooked up to the streaming PC running Boost Mobile data. That's the most reliable way that I can get people in and out of the studio remote. And yeah, so this is not an ad, like that's just literally what we do. So Boost provides the internet that lets our guests call in, which is epic. Also supported by the legends at MX Store. Their showroom is open. They are pumping orders out the door. The same day shipping still is in effect. You can head to mxstore.com.au for anything you need. Also, tracks are opening up, so we need to start getting the ball rolling with getting those bikes out of the garage and onto the dirt. Also to the guys at Thrill Seekers, make the best seat covers in the game. You can head to their website, thrillseekerscollection.com, and use the code GypsyGang. We're also sponsored by the guys at Rival Ink Design Co. You can head to www.rivalinkdesignco.com. Use the promo code GypsyGang for 15% off your order as well. I've got a couple more codes to throw out at you if you need some fist handwear. The best gloves in the game. The best gloves in the game, made by the coolest motherfucker in the game, Sam Moore. You can head to fisthandwear.com and you can use the promo code FUCKJACE to get 20% off your order. And if you are in the market for some new flannos, you can head to Dixon Quality, that's with two X's, dixonquality.com.au. Use the code RAMPTHIEF and that's going to get you 15% off. Also, the guys at Cricks, you can still buy a new or used car and go in the running to win that brand new KTM 450. Yeah, really appreciate you guys listening. This was a really cool podcast. And man, I'm excited. We will be streaming the Supercross Companions live from now on. So if you can't watch it through your like TV provider or on the internet, you can watch us free on YouTube. Really excited for it. This has got me pumped. Life's getting back to normal. Thanks for listening, guys. And
I don't know if you've had this feedback,
But you know when I'm on a phone call with my ear with these things.
So I don't normal. Have them, bro. I'm not rich. I'm not anyway, on that Yamaha money.
You're a gypsy. You know when I'm in my when I'm doing something, I was listening to the Rob Beams Toll Borders one. It's quiet, hey.
It's quiet. It's
not I've got it as wide open as I can go, and it's not loud enough.
Yeah, maybe I need to mix it up a little bit, like make it.
I'm just louder. Giving you some feedback. That's
bit
all.
Of constructive criticism, eh?
Yeah.
Ah, that's fine, mate. Yeah. I appreciate it. Well, look, we're live. We're rolling, mate. So I appreciate
what is up, Gypsy Gang?
You know what's up. Represent, buy the merch, helps us out. BT Blue Crew.
What's happening? Is this the 101 show?
Not yet. We'll do another one, I reckon. I'll just because I'm fucking hungry. It's late. It's five. What time is it? It's 5:30 here. Ben's half an hour late. You would have seen on my stories this week that I just throw this old dog a bone all the time. Give him the grace of a callback, and he just shits on it every time. Then he's half an hour late to this. He wonders why we don't do nothing.
I've been around Konski too long, mate. Too often around Konski. That got a lot of laughs. Eh? A lot of people around Aussie just gave me the little laughing face.
Oh, really?
If you know, you know.
Yeah. If you know, you know for sure. Righto. So I'm here with the man himself, the real 101. Oh yeah. I thought I almost had some fucking beef with old Pingree the other day. What's your relationship with Pingree?
It's sound. Sound is a pound.
Good bloke.
Yeah, well, he was good to me, so yeah, I had no gripes, eh? Did you rile him up about the 101?
Nah, I just got tagged in something. Someone was just giving me shit, and then he jumped in, and
standard
I was just
day
like,
in the office.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, Ping, I don't even know you, bro. I thought we were cool. Like, are we cool? Do we have beef or what? I was like, oh, fuck. I mean, we need to talk about something.
Oh, a little more detail would have been good there.
Yeah, someone was just roasting me saying that they can't listen to my podcast because I say like too much, which I do.
Oh.
Yeah, so someone was mad out in the internet world, and then Pingree commented, I don't know, I didn't watch it. I stopped after the 12th like. And I was like, oh, okay, what's this?
I seen some guy roasting RC, and then RC just roasted him straight back on something about RC's standard cockiness, and he's a shit commentator as well. And he said, thanks for unfollowing me, and thanks in advance.
Oh, that's so good. All right, so this is a little special impromptu show. Oh, that's why this connection's so shit. Because I have to... The internet's so bad here, I literally have to hotspot to my phone, and I use Boost on these shows because the internet's so shit at our
little
warehouse.
Plug there for Boost, eh? How good
it is.
Are you on 5G yet or a 4G guy?
Nah, man, I think 4G gives you two dicks, doesn't it? Or 5G, I think everyone's freaking out.
Is that what it is?
I think so, but from what I can tell, I stopped paying attention.
I stopped following the news, bud.
I know, eh? All right, so do you want to hear this message?
Yeah, is it?
I'll read it. This is Supercross, bro. This is what's happening.
Don't say like, otherwise people might turn off.
Wait, man, I'll read you like this text, like this. I got it from like,
you
know, like
drop a bomb?
I don't know, maybe. So I got this message. This is from Lucas Myrtle. I don't know who he got it from, but I don't know if I'm blowing him out. I hate the reading text thing. Like I screenshotted your text the other day because I kind of don't really care what you think. But generally, like, I think it's a bit of a shit move to do. But anyway, hey guys, update. We are racing May 31st in Salt Lake City. I can tell you we will not be able to leave, and we are stuck there for 3 weeks. If you do leave, then you will have to be back there 2 days prior to the race to be tested again. Also, we will have to be there 2 days early. We all have to be there 2 days early to be tested. Schedule is as follows. May 31st, East. June 3rd, East.
Oh, I'm going to look at my calendar. So it's May 31st.
Yeah, yep. It's in like 2 weeks. It's because yep. I think it's 14th today. So May 31st, East. June 3rd, East. June 7th, East. June 10th, West. June 14th, West. June 17th, East. June 21st, East-West Shootout and Series Finale. Ben Townley, what are your thoughts on that?
Wow. That's massive, man.
Crazy, eh? So, 7 rounds.
What is it? Every three or four days?
Yeah, it's like every Wednesday and Saturday, pretty much, I'm sure.
Holy, no spectators, only industry only.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the total number of that? 8 all up.
7 rounds.
7.
Who wins that title now, just straight off the top of your head? 7 rounds in the 450
class.
Well,
just straight off the top of my head, I just think straight away at elevation, and I just think Eli.
Yeah.
Just for elevation.
So how big is that? How big a deal is that elevation?
What's Jason Anderson thinking about that?
Oh, too soon, Ben Townley. Too soon. Oh, that is gnarly, though. I didn't even think of that, bro.
Oh, I think of all the good stuff, bud. You should know that by now.
Yeah, this is why I come to you, mate. This is why you're the first call.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there that Barsha's a sleeper.
Fuck off. He's a sleeper. Just because he's on a Yamaha. Righto. Let's say whoever...
Got nothing to do with Yamaha.
Oh, he God. Seems you're just to be so the see-through, only guy. Bro.
Nah.
You're so he's see-through, only... bro.
Listen. I'm not really a Barsha fan at all, to be honest. He's the only guy that it seems to me, just through social media and then some of those cool things I've been doing and whatnot, that's like, it seemed like he's been putting in some serious mahi, we call it in New Zealand.
Doing that work, bro, that daily work.
Yeah.
Ah, so, but I mean...
elevation changes the game, man.
Like, so, yeah, how big a deal is that? Is that crazy?
So what because what sparks me to say that is because when... Did you watch that call with RC with the riders?
No.
I watched that and... it doesn't seem like many of them were really doing too much work in the last few weeks, months. Like, they're all sort of like, oh.
But would they say that shit, though?
I genuinely think that's sort of what they've been doing. And what I find strange about that is they're all going on about how, we could have to, like, extend it way into the end of the year.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if they'd be racing now, they'd be training, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I found a little bit bizarre about the whole thing. They've all seemed to have really backed off because I don't know when they're racing. But the guys that have carried on cranking, I think they're the ones that are going to – elevations, I've said it 3 times, it's going to change the face of the championship, man. Doing 20-minute motos on a supercross track at elevation is going to be pretty gnarly for the guys that haven't really kept up that high level of training program, to be honest.
I can't see Eli not continuing his training anyway, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's just had a baby.
Oh, he just had a baby?
Well, he didn't.
How did I miss that? Fuck, I need to look at Instagram, bro. It's pretty bad when old Whiskey's over here is the one that...
Everything I'm saying.
What's that?
I'm getting the Whiskey all of a sudden in the last 10 seconds.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I must have touched something. Sorry, mate. Dude, I had no idea that he was having had a kid.
Yeah, he just... him and his... lady just had a baby girl, yeah
right. So I wonder, do you know how far Barsha is out of the championship?
No, I'm not saying championship run, but I'm just saying could come in there and set the cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, so You think, though, what about the dirt, though? Because, like, I look at Eli.
So what happens with the tracks? They change them for every round, or how does that work, or turn them around?
Yeah,
or?
I'd say that it'll just be a new track for every round. But, man, like, well, how long does it normally take them to build a supercross track? Because essentially they're going to have a three-day turnaround. The dirt will already be
not
in
that
the stadium.
So the biggest part of changing a track, right? So when they, you know, you go to Anaheim and then San Diego, like one of the biggest components is actually hauling the dirt in and out, or the dirt coming in, because it's got to be so strategic in how where it goes and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I don't see the actual changing being like the layout changing. I don't see that being massive. And they're going to have all of the, you know, they're going to have all the dirt work stuff. They're all in machines. It's going to be pretty straightforward.
Apparently, there's a
What's
threat.
The weather like there now? Is it?
Yeah, not going to be good, I don't think. I think they're looking at like a few mud races.
Because you know where they did that Moto Fight Club thing? It looked cold there, man.
That was in, Myrtle told me where that was.
They were all around campfires, gloves on, big jackets. Like it didn't exactly perform.
Myrtle did say where it was.
Salt
but,
Lake
yeah.
be high, so I'm assuming it'll be pretty cold there still.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's taking a bit to get my head around that announcement.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to tell you before, man. It's gnarly. Whoever wins this title, they've won a weird championship.
Yeah, but at least it may be weird because of the circumstances in general life, but at least this championship is going to have, you know, it sounds like, what is it, 16 rounds or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be all the rounds.
Yeah, and you're going to have, although, you know, that one venue, I mean, you know, for example, they go to Anaheim 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's the same venue type of scenario. So I don't think that, I don't see it being that odd. You know, it seems odd because it's the only time this is probably ever going to happen in our lifetime. But I don't see the circumstances of once you drop the gate, it's going to be a different track every 3 days. It's the same competitors. The biggest factor you throw in for guys that are going to be riding at the elevation, man. I sound like a broken record already. It's going to be gnarly.
Yeah. And what you about
gotta,
recovery?
So I mean, so you got to live up there now for how long was that timeline?
3 weeks.
Yeah. And probably the hardest thing for a lot of guys, I remember when I raced at Denver, is that the timeline leading into it, you know, so the first event, you know, if you're coming from Florida or California and you go to that first one, you're going to be sucking big ones at the first one, and then you'll start to, I guess, acclimatize and, So that's massive. How many guys are allowed to go?
I think the whole field's going. I don't think there's any restrictions on riders. There'll be no crowd or anything. I'm not sure what the I'd say they'll have to be quite a bit tighter on like media credentials and stuff as well, I'd say. But I mean, it just has to function as a normal race. I mean, they gotta have flaggers, they gotta have Dirtworks crew,
how many, you know, are they gonna do qualifying every
I'd say so. I don't know, like the only info I've got is that text. And I mean, even so, Myrtle texted me at it would have been about 1 o'clock my time today, and then we didn't end up getting on a call until 3:30 ish, you know, like, because we tried to sit down and call straight away, but his phone was just blowing up. Obviously, he's gonna have both of the Lawrence boys will be on the line. It looks like Hunter's gonna be on the East Coast. And then obviously Jet will be west. I mean, even everyone's just trying to scramble now, and like dudes won't be able to really ride during the week at this point because they're going to race in essentially 3 days.
Yeah. Well, but
again,
like everyone's in the same boat there, you know?
Yeah.
In that scenario. So, I mean, who's to say that someone doesn't like make a pop-up supercross track in Salt Lake sort of area, you know, and they have some type of a practice facility that everyone uses up there?
I'd say that there'd have to be something anyway. But, I mean, what would your game plan be if you were, say, like Eli, Ken, or Cooper? Because I just want to point out, I just want to look at the points because Coop's not out of it. 2020 Supercross points. But essentially, it's like, it's probably realistically a two... Fuck, I don't even know if you could call it a two-horse race. I feel like you'd have to say Ken, Cooper, and Eli are in that championship, right?
Yeah, yeah. What, how far behind is Coop?
I can't spell, apparently. So, what would your game plan be, do you think?
Like,
if you had to race this, in terms of training and in the middle, recovery, all that sort of stuff.
You'd just want to make sure that your bike time between now and the 31st of May is maximized. So what do we got? Like, you're going to have to work backwards, right? So you're going to have to be up there probably on the 29th.
So, yeah, everyone has to be there 2 days before to get tested.
Right, so you got to fly the 28th, right?
Uh-huh.
So then that gives you the 20th from now until the 27th. That's not very many riding days.
No, because you've still got to recover in between as well.
Two on, one off, two on, one off, all the way up there. You're only going to get in two, four. You're sort of going to get, depending on weather conditions, 8 to 10 days riding between now and then. And it really would be the focus for me would be making sure that, you know, bike-wise, just maximizing your bike time.
Yeah.
Because it seems that just you can only go by social media, but it seems that that hasn't been a huge amount of time for a lot of guys. Certainly not on a supercross track, that's for sure. Sort of took – well, I was speaking to a couple of people over there, and they – sort of back and forth and between whether outdoors was going to start or Supercross was going to go first. And so they were really unsure and unknown. And so they were spending, you know, a decent amount of time on outdoor tracks because obviously like every season you have that Supercross run and then motocross, you know, starts 2 weeks later and you haven't done any outdoor riding. And so a lot of guys were starting to do some outdoor riding, put that time in and whatnot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the biggest thing would just be, right now, you know, you've got that, you can set a schedule to start with, which is something that you haven't been able to do, and just, you know, just knuckle down really and make sure that you maximize those. You'd like to think sort of 10 riding days minimum, I guess, that you could to really, you know, go to work and put in a heap of effort. And that's why I'm saying the guys that haven't really slackened off, you know, I really think that that's going to be a major factor and now going to elevation even more because if you have sort of really buttoned off, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, you'll be rested and whatnot, but you won't still have that same ability to, you know, down the stretch of those motos, when you're short of breath, it's going to...
And there's
gonna,
not a lot of those, air to grab.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly what I mean. Yeah. So,
all right, so points-wise, Eli Tomac, 226, Ken Roczen, 223. So there's only 3 points there. Fuck, dude. So Cooper's at 197, so that's 29 points off Tomac. And then Barsha is 195.
Yeah. I don't think that really... I think it's a two-horse race, really. I don't see anyone else getting in the picture, really, of that, to be honest with you. You know, like it's... it's going to be hard for someone to make up that amount of points. And you got to think that the two... you know, guys in that championship race are probably the two fittest guys in the sport currently. So it's I don't see, you know, that changing too much there. I'm sure, you know, Coop could, what's that? I guess if Eli got
Well, if we got Mudders, dude.
Yeah, that's a game changer. It always is. But if let's just work on like a scenario that Coop was winning, Eli was getting third. There is a, what's that, a 5-point swing? Or is it six these days? Did they change the points? Or?
Wait, so say it again.
So Coop's winning the moto. Is it 25 points still in US Supercross?
And then 23 and for second, third 22 for third.
Wait. Are you sure?
No, so 25 points for win.
25, 22, 20.
20 for third, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a 5-point swing for Coop. But he'd have to win, you know, he'd have to win a boatload of races. And I don't see that really being realistic, to be honest.
Yeah, he hasn't won a boatload as it is this year.
No, exactly. So that's probably, you can, you know, not much chance on that one.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you go back to Eli and Kenny, and I think probably the biggest factor for Eli, in my opinion, is he's got to get himself out of the gate and stamp his authority on leading from the front and with good authority at round one, you know, because he renowned in this since he's been with Cowie, at least, or as long as I can remember, his starting is so inconsistent, you know. And, you know, with a 3-point margin, you know, that has to be some an area that he, you know, really takes hold of and says, right, I've got to get myself into the lead and, you know, form that authority on this champion, take hold of this championship. And, you know, it's pretty common when he does start well, he races strongly. I mean, starts well for him, it can just be in the top five, and that's a you know, pretty much an assurance that he's going to be first or second, you know. So yeah, that's going to be a big factor for him for sure. Big factor.
I wonder, like, do you treat it as though it's round one again, and it's essentially a 7-round series, except Eli's got a 3-point lead? Or because in my head, even at, I mean, I've never raced at elevation. I've been to Colorado, obviously, filming it, and I mean, walking up those hills and stuff, it is definitely gnarly. But I can't speak on the racing side of it, obviously. But if I think about, let's say, the last 2 years, I could be wrong on this, but I feel like Ken in at round seven for the last couple of years has been ahead of Eli. So it's like, I feel like Eli's the kind of guy that builds through a season. The thing that I'm wondering is, like, are we looking at this situation now, like, as though this is Anaheim 1? Should we have our heads in the picture of, okay, we're basically at A1 and we've got a 7-round series, Tomac has a 3-point lead? Or is it, because Eli's kind of better down the stretch, in my opinion, especially like the last couple of years, but how do we look at it? Do we look at it as though this is still round, what, 13 or, sorry, round 11? Or do we have
In reality, it's been such a long pause. It's like a...
It sort of like is a new season, start, right?
Whether it's round 13 or not, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's, yeah. But there's only two people, really, that can win, which is not the case when you're at Anaheim, right?
Yeah. So... Man, I feel like I would bet on Ken to win a 7-round series over Eli, just based on how he seems to start. I feel like Eli has to really build into a season. It seems like Ken sort of doesn't. It seems like Ken can always come out and have the red plate for the first 5, 6, 7 rounds of a season, and it's been down the stretch that he struggled. Whereas Eli, it's kind of the opposite, right?
You know what would be really interesting to know is if, because you know Ken, his wife's family, they're from Salt Lake, Utah.
Yeah.
If he potentially gets up there in advance.
Dude,
don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because, like, he goes there quite often.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to know if guys like him and, like, I almost feel a little bit sorry for Jason, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because that's going to put him in the Hurt Locker big time.
It might be dangerous to his health, to be honest. Like, he suffers from a condition, right? It's an actual altitude condition. His body just doesn't adapt.
Yeah.
But which is weird because he's from New Mexico, which is kind of is at altitude as well, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's quite deserty there. I don't know, mate. Yeah.
Well, I know that you bring up a good point. That
I wasn't strong in geography, bud.
Yeah, well, no, I definitely know that parts of New Mexico yeah, you're from New Zealand, bro, we know. But yeah, I know that Ken has access to supercross tracks and stuff. Are we taking up your time? Sorry, mate, is this...
No, I was going to clean my...
You got somewhere to camera, be, or mate. We're taking up your time?
I was going to clean my camera. I was going to lift my shirt, but then
I'll take the camera off you for a sec, then. I'll put the camera on me.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
No, it's on me. Trust me, I promise. It's on me right now. Oh, you pussy. Yeah, there you go. Use the sleeve.
Is that better?
Oh, look, mate. That's amazing. So I know that Ken has access to tracks over there.
Digest it a little bit. I think getting up there would be probably a key factor for someone like him.
He'll go there tomorrow, I'm sure. If they're not already there, I mean, if we know this information right now, then I guarantee Ken would as well. So the Savage family, they still live in Utah, and I know that I know that Ken does a lot of training and testing up there. Through the preseason. I know he's got a lot of outdoor tracks there. I'm pretty sure that they have a supercross track there because that's where Blake crashed and hurt his back. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right. So that will definitely be something that will be, you know, interesting story to follow in the next few days because it's all, you know, people are going to have to make, or riders and teams are going to have to make some decisions on, you know, how they build up to this. And again, I hate to say it, but like, it's going to be quite a game changer.
Yeah.
Going up, you know, to that elevation to race full time. And I'm sure, like, even from a team's perspective, you know, I'm sure they put a lot of effort in when they go there for one race, but you know, for Honda and Kawasaki, it's going to be like, going to have to pull out all their stops and make sure that they've got stuff sorted and as good as they possibly can be to race, you know, at elevation, because that's also going to be a factor is the bike performance as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about human performance. That's the great thing about supercross, motocross is that it's that equal meeting point between man and machine. And, you know, that's very, you know, valid at sea level, but then when you go up, you know, you're going to put both the man and the machine under extreme circumstances, you know, so they're going to have to put a lot of effort and thought into that to make sure they're ready to go with their bikes as well.
Yeah, dude, so, it's going to be crazy to watch. And then you got the whites class. I don't think that anybody is beating Dylan Ferrandis for the West Coast title.
Probably not. And like
I could see Jet winning a race when he's like, come back, though.
Those Yamahas are pretty good, the 250s.
Yeah, they
are. You know, like they're real good. And so that's going to help them. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I remember racing my PC bike at elevation and kind of felt like I was cheating at times.
Sorry,
unfortunately it was good, you know, but you know, that will help in the lights class big time. Yeah, it's going to be a major factor for sure. And it seems like I just sort of, I haven't been real heavy on the social media lately following, but it seems like Dylan's been sort of putting in effort throughout a lot of this lockdown period, it seemed.
I think he's just a grinder, dude. He's just one of those guys, I think, that just sends it 24/7.
Yeah, I don't really know him, but just from the little bits I've seen on social media. So, yeah. So, yeah, he's going to be probably hard to peg back. What's the points in that one? You need to have the stuff on a whiteboard, man.
Oh, man. Guys, scenarios. I'm understaffed here at Gypsy Tales. We have to make some cuts, man, during COVID.
What happened to the intern? She should be there right now. Like,
Nah, it just doesn't work like that, eh? It's hard to find good help, mate. As you'd know on the tour, because you can't even provide us with fucking cold drinks. Dylan Ferrandis, 135. Justin Cooper, 128. Austin Faulkner, 122. Brendan Hartranft, so I mean, essentially, you're looking at Ferrandis, Cooper, and Faulkner on the West Coast. But I mean, it's a decent.
I didn't realize that Justin Cooper was as close as he is.
I mean, it's close, but the way that Dylan's been riding, you know.
Yeah, but he's a pretty savage trainer. He certainly is. Yeah, well, it seems you have to be as strong as he is outdoors, you know, so.
Yeah.
And he's then, definitely not out of that, no doubt. Yeah, what's happening on the east?
The east is tighter. I feel like the east is probably the one that we're going to be watching for the title race kind of deal. You know, I think that's.
Wait on, we need to back it up. Go back to the west.
Yeah.
Is
this your show?
How many races does Jet win?
Is this the BT Worldwide show? Like, what are we?
This is it. Is this the worldwide live thing or whatever?
I don't know what this is, bro. This is just a bit of a random call because some shit has gone down. What do you want to know?
How many races? Chalk it up right now. How many races does Jet win? Many rounds does he have? Is he West?
Yeah. Jet wins 2 of these 7. And is on the box.
Well, he doesn't essentially have 7.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, yeah, actually, there's only... Oh, that's interesting, too. So there's only... Oh, yeah, so he'll have... So there's 3 east that go first, and then 2 west, back to an east, and then an east-west shootout. So we only get to see Jet 3 times, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, right.
I think he wins a race.
Yeah, I think he wins a race, yeah.
I could see him win an east-west shootout too, to be honest. I think he wins the last west and then the east-west shootout.
Wow, that's a big call.
I'm full of them, mate.
What
are you thinking?
I think he wins a race.
Yeah. And what about Hunter on the east?
Oh, I don't know. He hasn't. When did he last race? I don't even know when he raced last.
Yeah, I know. It's been a minute. But yeah, everyone says he's just as good as Jet on Supercross track.
Yeah, I know. That's all good in an environment like that where you're comfortable and, you know, that's the track you ride all the time. But, you know, if you haven't raced in that long, it's a different environment when you show up.
Yeah.
And the gate drops, you know, so. Don't know. We'll have to. I don't really want to. I'm not saying that he can't show up and do well, but you know I've been in that scenario and that, you know, situation before, and it takes a minute just to get yourself, you know, rolling again.
And then on the East Coast, if it's all right with you, I'd like to read you the East Coast.
Yeah, you can move on now. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Chase Sexton, 98 points, 10-point lead over Shane McElrath with 88, then RJ Hampshire with 80, and then Gareth Marchbanks with 79.
Yeah, I don't see anyone besting him.
Chase?
No.
Yeah, he looks pretty good, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anyone besting him at all.
Shane's on a Yamaha. Honda's not the fastest bike at altitude. Sexton's a pretty big dude. West Coast dirt.
No, I don't think it matters.
Yeah. The He's thing, like, there's got to be a, there's got to be like a mental factor with Sexton, the fact that he already has that Honda 450 ride. He won last year's title. I just, you know, some dudes just start gathering momentum in their career and they just sort of, not like believe, I guess they just believe that it's like, oh yeah, well, I'm just supposed to win, and then they win because it's in their mind what they're supposed to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. He's definitely in a
Ferrandis
good
is kind of like that for me mentally. This year as well.
He's in a good spot mentally, for sure. Like, in what his program consists of, his team, where he's going with his team in terms of, you know, to Factory Honda as well. I think everything there, you know, he's in a real positive space right now, for sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. But then, you know, it is a cruel sport, and it can catch up on you just as fast as well, you know. So
yeah, that's true.
It's he has been doing things correctly, and it's all seems to be heading in the right direction, but you can never count your chickens or your eggs or whatever you say in this sport before.
So
I think that it'll be hard for Shane now. He came out of the blocks real good, but he sort of lost some momentum there, and I don't really know if he'll be able to get back in that title race, in my opinion.
Yeah. What was I going to say next for you? I had a point, but you took too long to answer that last question. I started thinking about dinner.
What about Faulkner?
I mean, he's always fast, right?
Mm.
He's just crashed a lot, man. Like, dude, last year, I mean, Sexton shouldn't have won that title last year, essentially. Like, that was Faulkner's title. It looked completely unbeatable. And then you give these dudes one sniff of, you hand the title to somebody else, and then you give them a whole off-season to try and, you know, believe that they can beat you. And he hasn't been the same dude as what he was last year. Last year was a world beater, bro. And so he was, I don't know if you'd heard, but...
But I think everyone stepped up as well.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah. But did you hear that if Faulkner won that title last year, it was likely that he was going to get that Cowie ride over AC even?
No, I didn't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard that. Like, think about how different just the momentum of a dude's career is. Just like one injury, you lose one title. Now, Ferrandis is probably going to beat you on the West Coast this year. So,
yeah,
you know, it's crazy what injuries can do in this sport. Obviously, you know that.
Yeah, big major impact for sure. What about AC?
Oh, that was actually the question I was going to ask. Can AC win?
Yeah, definitely.
You think he'll win one of these seven races?
Yeah. Yeah, good starter. He's been starting consistently.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think probably the biggest factor is going to be going the distance for him, whether he can go the distance under the, you know, those circumstances of elevation, really.
Mm.
So that'll be the biggest thing for him. But
it's just the real winner in all this is just Supercross in general. We're going to be racing when nobody else. The talk is that it's going to be on NBC, not NBC Sports. So it'll actually be network television coverage. And it was something.
Is that because they don't have much else to view at the moment?
Yeah, there's just nothing else, man. And that, I think it's a credit to Feld, the fact that they were willing to fight so hard to make Supercross happen. Like, man, Feld would have been working since it was Indianapolis that got cancelled, right? Was it Indy was the round that where everything
Indy
went down?
They didn't fly, yeah.
they would have been working on this deal for them to be racing at Salt Lake. Obviously, we heard it was going to be Phoenix first, and now it's Salt Lake. They would have been working on that deal since the day that the trucks rolled out of Indianapolis. And I mean, I'll fully admit that I've been critical of Feld. Obviously, there's work to be done for every organization. You know, it's sort of, if you're a media person, it's kind of your job to like see how the sport could be better and I guess comment on it. But man, like, you cannot take anything away from Feld now for making this happen.
You'd be critical on your platform. They don't strike me as that type of guy.
I just hang around like negative, salty old bastards like you all the time.
Yeah, no, it's a credit to them for sure. Like, it's gonna, you know, I heard from someone in Europe, and it's hard to know what to believe at the moment, but he was saying that it was going to be, he'd be surprised if they got the world championship up and running again this year in Europe.
Well, dude, Europe's just a whole different animal, man, because at least in America, you look at the outdoors or whatever, it's like they've got just state lines that they've got across. There's no kind of shit that...
Borders.
Yeah, border stuff. Man, the fucking border thing's the sketchiest deal. And I mean, you know how much I want the borders to open.
Yeah, yeah, likewise.
I want to get to New Zealand.
So you can come ride dirt bikes in New Zealand. Just give it a pump up. Pump it up now, bud.
Well, I want to go to Russia first, and then I want to go to New Zealand.
Why do you want to go to Russia, Jace?
Oh, just the, fuck, the riding in Russia is that good.
Is it?
Oh, unreal.
How many motos a day can you cut there?
Oh, it's definitely one of those things where you like work your way up in the fitness, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
stamina?
Yeah, depends on a lot of factors, man. But yeah, I think that Aussie and New Zealand will be the first thing that gets opened. That's what it's sort of looking like from our end. And the day that that shit is open, I'll definitely come back and have a ride for sure.
Get over. Go on, bud.
Oh, you know I'm keen. Just restarted my love for motorcycles, eh? That trip with you.
Yeah, imagine what you'll feel like after you've hit the whoops. I groomed.
I was going to say, there's a fresh set of Supercross whoops there this time. Like, I am ready, bro.
When Dylan rides that track tomorrow, I'm going to film it slow-mo, and it's going to be just like gypsy tail tags all down the side of the video.
Oh, dude. I'll just, you know, I got my coach, Ben. I'm going to drop my heels. Ass is going back. Head's going over the bars and just, hey, 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 hey.
That's it. See? In your mind, you're there.
Oh,
that's,
mate.
That's like most of the battle.
Believe and achieve, bro. Believe and achieve.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I don't know if the championship in Europe goes ahead. Like, so going back to where you are with Feld, it's a testament to what they've been able to achieve. It does, to me, make sense that it can be achieved, though, with an arena, with the size of the bloody hotels that America have.
Yeah.
There is no major restrictions with borders, so to speak of. Doesn't surprise me that they've been able to pull this off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, they're flying, man. Like, Myrtle flew from wherever that Moto Fly Club thing was. Myrtle flew from there back to, he lives in Orange County or San Diego. So, I mean, it's not like you can't fly over there right now.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah man, crazy times. But, yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on it with a fresh reaction to the news. But
I don't know if I've provided that much insight, to be honest. It's going to be, it's unprecedented, really, to be honest, what they're doing. You know, it would be kind of quite a bit different if it was in Anaheim. It would really be quite different, but it's kind of a really... Well, it's quite remote, you know, doing it there. There's no, like, doesn't seem a lot of practice facilities or or, you know, places for people to riders to practice on days off.
There's not going to be many days off, man.
Yeah, but when you ride Supercross, you ride a lot. Yeah. You know, you're really in tune with the bike, you know, like in, when you're riding, for example, a Saturday to a Saturday schedule, you're generally on the bike Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. You fly Friday and Sunday and Friday. So you generally got 3 days on the bike.
Mm.
And then you obviously you race Saturday. So that's 4 days on the bike every seven. So, yeah, I mean, if no one can ride, then everyone's in the same, everyone's in the same scenario there. But it just really, that's quite, probably a major factor of, I don't know if that'll be a rule or a gentleman's agreement, you know, I'm not sure.
No one rides through the week or whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting too that if Coop doesn't win the title, then this will be the first time in, you'd have to go back a while, that the champ didn't come from the Baker's factory.
Yeah, major one for sure. A long way back, yeah.
Who would be and, the last rider to win without that? James? Imagine,
didn't he, who was the last rider that didn't win from the Baker Street? When did he win? Did Reed win in 2009 or 8, was it?
Yeah, maybe it was Chad. Really and maybe the year that James won, he was with Alden.
Yeah, no, he was on the Yamaha, was it? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it's been a long-ass time, right?
Yeah. And what's, I think, probably the biggest story in that is Eli or Kenny finally winning a championship in Supercross.
Yeah. Well, it's
been
crazy
a long
because
time coming. Eli turned pro in 2010.
10 years
raced
to win
his first Supercross in 2011. So, yeah.
It's gnarly, too.
Long
because
time coming, eh?
Essentially, man, like both of those guys heading into Anaheim 1, it's like if they didn't win this year, then it would be, it's a problem. They're supposed to win. Both of those guys, to be in 2020 and Eli Tomac and Ken Roczen don't have a championship, that's kind of gnarly.
How cool is it for the sport, though, in that respect, you know, that we're still waiting for one of them to win? It means that, you know,
it's hard.
There's a lot of good guys out there. And, you know, obviously Cooper coming to the fore last year as well. It's created a real interesting and actually gets you more into it than it has in the past when you've got guys dominating and, you know, especially like you sort of, you know, had those sort of runs like Dungey had where it sort of gets and it just becomes a little bit of a procession, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool now to have that excitement back within like we've had now for the last couple of years. I think it's given the series a good shot in the arm, in my opinion, for excitement and general interest, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then you look at, you've got three dudes that, assuming Coop doesn't win the title this year, you've got three dudes in three different years that have won the championship. And we haven't seen that. Mm. When was the last time we saw three guys, 3 years, win the title?
And you have to go back a long, long way. Well, we probably had that. I think it went Reed 08, James 9, and then Dungey 10.
Yep.
I think that was, you know. But then before that, holy crap. You have to go a long way back.
But even then, Chad was a multiple-time winner. James was...
Yeah, that's kind of the point. Getting to, yeah. You have to go back into the early 90s.
Yeah. Before McGrath.
Yeah. Yeah, so McGrath went on a run. RC went on a run.
And then, yeah, you had those couple of years, and then you had the Ryans went on a run.
It's a cool scenario. It's a really, really cool scenario, in my opinion, and gives sort of certainly from my perspective with, you know, my two young lads, they're super excited in it because, like, it's still a nail biter, you know, all the way to the end. And, you know, I think that's important for Supercross, you know, to keep that interest in there. That's something that we missed for a number of years. I know certainly through those Ryans era, you sort of just sign off because, well, you know, it's a procession at that point. So,
And I mean, essentially we're kind of getting like this mini 7-round Supercross series. I sort of wish it wasn't at altitude. I feel like Salt Lake's probably the last place I wanted it to be. If it was Phoenix, I think you bet on Ken. If it's Salt Lake, I think you bet on Eli. I feel like that's one of the beauties of motocross and Supercross is that you sort of, the track never really plays into any one person's advantage either way. I mean, unless you're like fucking Mike Dowd or Doug Henry at Southwick, but it feels
I don't know if it does in this day and age, to be honest with you. I really don't think it does, unless it's...
about Salt Lake,
though? Even like... that's a kind of a different... it's like a little bit of a factor on its own, just because it's not purely the track type of scenario. Know what I mean? I don't know. It's a strange type of a factor in the whole.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, though, is it's like there is going to be this kind of weird thing that ends up kind of playing a role in the championship.
Yeah, okay. But it'll be interesting to see if, like, other people or, you know, other journalists or, you know, podcasters, I don't know, whatever you call it, but if people see it the same way that we're talking about it. Maybe it's just me that's just going off on a tangent like this, but to me that's the biggest storyline here right now in my opinion. But who am I?
I totally agree. Yeah, I think it's huge. Like, it's going into that first round, it's just advantage Tomac. He's got a 3-point lead and he's at elevation for 3 weeks, and it's a huge advantage to him. I think that
he goes to Salt Lake one, if that's what you call it, because it'll be Salt Lake one, two, three, whatever, SLC one. And I think he just, there's nothing changes for him. Like in his mind, he's just going there as a normal race. Yeah. Like for everyone else, it's a little bit of a different scenario, unless they pack their shit up and they get up to Salt Lake in the next 24 hours and put themselves in that environment.
Well, sweet as, bro. What else is going on, mate?
It's late for me, man. It's coming up 8:30. I want to put the head down.
You do. I've been going pretty early, eh? Oh, whiskey's over here. Shut up.
The shucker mat. Is that what it's called? You know those. Those shucky mats, or I don't know what they're called. They're like those mats that have got needles and you lie on them.
What?
What they're called. Shakti mats, are they?
What is it? Give me more.
You lie on it. Do you want me to grab it or not?
What does it do for you? Does it like help your back or something?
Yeah, just kind of helps you relax, and so I just lie on the floor on it, and it's gnarly. It hurts, man.
Oh, so it's like painful, painful to Tapuki Thunder, because like Tapuki Thunder will relax you.
But you don't. Yeah, but it's not painful though.
Oh, no, you don't have to go through the pain, bro.
You don't have to go in the pain and the hurt locker.
So yeah, just a bit of body prep, keeping that those old limbs mobile before you go and have a bit of a nap, and then wake up, make yourself a cuppa.
I'm gonna go riding tomorrow.
Oh yeah, whereabouts?
I'm gonna go over the hill to a private track.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How
it's gonna be good.
When's the last time it rained?
So good. Long time.
Really?
Shit, 2 weeks. Yeah, it's bad at the moment. New Zealand's not real, well, certainly in this area, it's not in great shape considering the time of the year. It's green, but it's just not enough rainfall at the moment. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, we all know you like your rain, mate.
Riding conditions are decent though, because it's like short days, quite cool. Like it's, but
oh, like it stays kind of moist.
Yeah.
Good shit, mate. Well, we'll maybe try and get you back. We'll do the chapter 101 of the podcast, specially reserved. Or maybe I'll just call Ping. Fuck it.
Do you reckon he'll answer?
Yeah, he'll answer for sure.
Nah, he's not answering, eh? He's like, no.
He looks at, fuck.
I don't deal with gypsies. Just, that's it.
Probably the move, eh? Hit that red button.
Righto, dude. I'm off to bed.
Nah, good chat, mate. Appreciate it. Glad I could drop a bit of a scoop on you.
Well, 59 minutes, 15 seconds coming up. Shit. You're going to have to carve that segment up, eh?
Nah, should be right. That's too much
work. Slice that out.
Go home.
Okay, Buzz.
Post it up. Good to see you, mate.
Catch ya.
Righto, that was the man himself, Ben Townley, the real 101. All right, cool. Well, I'm done for the day. 6:30 here, made a couple calls, got a couple reactions on what is going to be a 7-round Supercross series in Salt Lake starting on the 31st of May and going for 3 weeks into June. So BT seems to think that Tomac is going to have a massive advantage. And I would have to agree. Elevation's no joke. He's very used to it. He brings up an interesting point about Ken and his in-laws are actually from Utah. I know he spends a lot of time there. So maybe those two top dudes are like the best position to actually, to actually make this whole championship deal happen. So thanks everyone for watching. Subscribe and turn on, if you're on YouTube, turn on the post notifications, and then that will just like give you an inbox and make sure that it comes up in your feed so that you don't miss any of this action. I'm very interested in this Supercross series, obviously, and I'm going to be watching it very closely, trying to bring you guys some really cool content. Thanks very much for joining us, and stay tuned because there's going to be a bunch more that we'll be putting out over these next couple months. So I'm stoked. I'm fucking pumped. We're finally going to get to go racing. Supercross Companion will be back. We'll be doing it live. So you'll be able to tune in as well and watch us carry on while we watch these races. So thanks very much, everybody. Peace, love you all. Bye.